Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio none other than the citizen lobbyist. Welcome, citizen lobbyist.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm recovering.
I'm with you, buddy.
Tuesday night, the borough assembly, even without the mayor and Matthew Beck, was able to go on for about 3.5 hours.
With a very thin agenda.
I looked at that agenda and I said, oh, me.
So, and yeah, slim pickings at the assembly table with Mr. Halter and Mr. Beck both. I'm assuming they didn't say, but AML, Alaska Municipal League, was meeting in Haines this week.
Right.
And the manager was gone. So my guess is that they were at that. And it's kind of a big deal when all those municipalities get together, different governments get together and get to share ideas. And how are they going to tackle this new environment? So I'm kind of glad they're there. I think the takeaway on that is usually pretty good.
Absolutely.
So, well worthwhile, but they could not be there. So let's talk about the agenda, Mike. We had a few little corrections in the minutes by Assemblyman Sykes. Then they had some reports. One was from the absent mayor also, who was always there, and that's Mayor Cottle of Wasilla. He, too, was at AML. He did leave, or I called earlier in the day and gave a statement for someone to read. I think it was Assemblyman Kawaki, who
yes.
was running the meeting,
right.
About plastic bags, which we're going to talk about probably the most part in this broadcast. And he saying that they wanted them to pause and take time for the city to have a town hall about it, apparently, later in September, was it? I want to say September 23rd. We'll check that date. But he was asking them to wait until the city had had some feedback from their community on it. So that was kind of his message. Then Nate Wallace, who's the city manager of Palmer, weighed in. It's hard to believe to me, Mike, but this is the last Friday for Friday Fling.
That's true.
Unbelievable. How's the summer gone?
And
the state fair starts next week, so that's why Friday Fling is winding down. He talked about airport construction that's moving on and continuing, and also if you've driven down the Palmer-Wasilla Highway, you'll see that that project kind of came, I've forgotten about that project.
He describes it as coming closer to Palmer.
And that's what they say. He did have a statement about plastic bags. I had a little hard time following it. The gist of it was that they weren't totally against it, but it wasn't good for the city at this time. The city hadn't actually weighed in. It didn't sound like he had a resolution from the council, but that he had concerns about the piece of legislation.
If you listen to the last few sentences of what he said, I think that captured it. He clearly pointed out that what he was saying was from the standpoint of the administration, that the council had not made a decision about how to do this. I think in a few more words, he was basically echoing, if you will, the Wasilla mayor's position that there needed to be more done. He did walk through what he, I think, described as some of the concerns or issues that you would have to resolve. The implication was that the proposed ordinance was maybe not ready for prime time. And even though you had this large group of people that spoke for and against it, I think, once again, they were talking about something that was, and I thought what captured so well the situation was when the attorney was once again asked about whether the borough could ban plastic bags. And I said, this is deja vu. I've heard him say this before. And yet for members at the table, the assembly members, people in the audience, certainly, the understanding that, as he pointed out, the borough is a second-class entity, and that meant that they don't have the powers to ban. And so as people talked and they would make references to banning and so on, this is something that quite possibly the cities could do because they happen to have those powers,
right.
but not the borough. And I think echoing, I'd say that the mayor's statement read was probably appropriate, that if the cities in this case were to take action on it, say, for conversation's sake, they were to ban plastic bags, then the borough could look and say, okay, what do we have left that we would deal with? outside of the city.
There's lots of merchants out there. Well, one of the points, we'll get more down into that. I want to point that the manager made a really good point, Palmer City manager, that I really didn't pick up on until I really read the legislation, which I have to say wasn't until I got there before the recording. But his concern was equity with retailers, because really what the legislation in front of them was, and it can always be amended and changed, but what they were basing this on was retailers of more than $1 million,
right,
which really was the big box stores. And he worried how that would be a disadvantage or an advantage. And, you know, I think most business-minded people are looking for certainty and also a level playing field. So he brought that point up that I think came up later. But that was his little report. We should go on to say there was a report by the school district, and that was from Superintendent Goyad that talked about the opening, successful opening of school, and also gave a handout to both assembly members and people there about enrollment.
Yep.
A little down, but not a surprise this time of year, because there was about 200 down in correspondence schools. That's pretty common. They just kind of don't get in the system as quickly. And also they're doing everything electronically now. So it just takes, that number is a real moving target, and they don't have the official headcount until sometime in October.
Right.
So they feel like they're pretty good for this early, thinking it's the second week in August. They've got a long time till their enrollment comes up. But middle school was the closest to their projection, a little down in elementary schools, but more down in high school. And that would be that kids are out still working or out vacationing. So,
and those numbers, when we say a little, I think, and the two points made were, one, in terms of where you are at this kind of year on a projection, it's consistent. And I heard her basically say, we expect to be right on.
Yeah, they think they're where they're going to be. Yeah, they're down now, I think, about 700 kids, but that can be made up in a real big hurry in a few
Especially when you're talking about 19,000 students.
Right, they're getting up there, right? They're itching over 18,000, close to 19,000. So that was kind of her report. She was kiddingly saying, I'm not always here to ask for money. I'm also here to give you an update on the good things happening in the district. They didn't have any report from George Hayes, who was the manager of the moment, because he was assistant manager setting in for the manager who was gone. And then the attorney spoke. I thought this was kind of interesting that he reported on a lawsuit that was filed last year in advance of the election concerning marijuana. And I have to peel back all the layers here to figure that one out. But it had to do with the ballot question about whether that failed about outlawing marijuana grows in the borough, and they did a preemptive lawsuit, and it's been kicked around for a while. So they've actually continues on, even though the voters have already spoken, because they questioned the way it was put on the ballot, and they've gone ahead and filed their brief. I don't know who's paying for that legislation to go through, or that attorneys to go through to do that, but of course the borough has to answer it, so he's getting ready to file that. An answer to that. So we'll stay posted on that. We may not hear anything. They may go to an executive session. We not hear anything, but it's still out there. They finalized their electronic, their brochure, which is always a relief to the clerk. It's a pretty skinny brochure, and she talked about that this year. There is basically going to be nothing on in some precincts. There'll be no vote this year.
Right.
Because there's only two assembly districts up. Both Big Lake has two challengers, and the city of Wasilla has now two challengers. So those people living in those areas will have a ballot. There's no ballot questions on there, so nothing to drive that. There are school board members, so those districts will have ballots. And then, of course, the city of or unincorporated area of Talkeetna will have some questions about a tax on
support for
solid waste or
a sewer system.
Sewer system, that's right. Changing their sewer system. So that was it. That was kind of all that. So now we'll go down again where you got off on there, Mike, about the bags. And
there were a lot of people in the audience, and you kept some numbers.
Yeah, and I didn't bring them with me. I should have, Mike. I'm thinking there were about 35 testifiers,
right.
And probably the majority, not by a lot, but a pretty good split, but mostly pro-plastic bags and pro the borough doing something about it.
Some doing
in support,
pro doing
in support,
some, support
in support.
Of the
some of them
proposed.
Were in support with some caveats with
right.
the legislation, but most of the people in the audience, but there were a lot of people that, you know, they're kind of in the, as these things come up, Mike, I sort of see a couple of categories of people that are gung-ho, let's do it. People that are, yeah, I don't really, not about everything about this I like, but yes, we should do something. And the people that, I don't care if it's got tax in it, I don't care, I don't want anything, don't tax me on anything. And even though this one was really a tax by choice, which I sadly, I wish it couldn't be called a tax, more of a user fee, because it was 10 cents on every plastic bag, which is much like has been done on the outside.
So what I picked up as I listened to all of those, and it was made explicit by a few, that one of the big splits is the question of whether the borough government should or can or both have a role to play in controlling plastic bags. I had a kind of a general sense, some people being more vocal than others, that the problem of plastic bags is recognized. And there was a spectrum of people saying, some people, let's not be intrusive in this, but let's get rid of plastic bags. And another group saying, okay, this should be an individual responsibility. And there's some form of education or whatever that would make this happen. But when it came down to, and I think this is the thing that was of value, is to have an ordinance up there that said, let's do this. We can talk about whether this is the one we want, or we want to revise it and do something else. It at least was an action that could be taken, and you could talk about how much you want the borough to be involved in this. But I still felt there were a group of people who appear at a number of the meetings that are really saying, we're interested in reducing the size and actions of government. And so anything, taxes certainly will bring them out, that want additional taxes. But also there's another flavor to it, which says, we don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah, so I think Dr. Doty asked and answered that pretty good. She said that it was an effort to start a conversation. There certainly had support in her district, and there was a lot of people that approached her on this. She said she takes issue with the fact that it's not the borough's job to do it because it's a health and safety issue, and health and safety is absolutely under the purview of the borough. She said the other choice is to sit on her hands and do nothing, and it's designed to have the conversation. So I think that was a really good way to answer it. And I think you're right, Mike. I think no matter what form it took, people would not like it. Some of the reasons were just kind of silly. One person got up and talked about the how unsanitary reusable bags are, which was kind of silly.
Which I first thought was going to be in favor
I
of
did
the
too. Yeah.
reduction. But
we can talk about some of the things. And I think actually I want to give a shout out to the group that kind of put this all together from the recycling community. And they did a good job. They did a survey. They did a community survey. Over 1,500 people responded. It had over 60% approval. They went to several. They were in parades. They were in presentation. They gave presentations. They were in the news. They even had a little film clip taken that was on the news about the experimental farm and how it affects animals and just these things. They had somebody with a experience from Fish and Wildlife, actually an ex-borough employee that spoke. So they actually had a lot of good support for it. And I think there were a lot of people that were there that supported it, even though they didn't support it in that form. So I would say if you added all those people in with the people that spoke, the majority of people were for that. But I think what was interesting is when it got down to assembly comments and it went around the table, George McKee was the first one. He tried to postpone it indefinitely, which means we're not going to visit this again.
Mm-hmm.
And his conversation was that he hates plastic bags, but he thought 10 cents was not enough. He said this isn't the way to go. It should be $2.50 a bag if you really want to change the behavior. He just didn't like anything about it. He said that, and he made a good point, Oregon has a statewide ban That's what we really need. If you really want to do this, you need to take it up with the legislature and not piecemeal it. Everybody needs to do it. And there have been cities in Alaska that have done it, so doing it statewide. Jim Sykes talked about that it deserved discussion, and that and then Steve Culligan was one that probably spoke the longest about it. He thought it was a tax at 1,000 cuts. I take a little issue with that, but he, in the end, was successful in postponing it to December 5th, with Dr. Doty the only one that voted against that. So
which
it'll
is
come
notable
back.
Because Mr. Culligan will no longer be on the assembly at that point.
Yeah, and I think what also was interesting, because I think mostly all of them spoke about this, all of them were against plastic bags. Not one of them said we support the use of plastic bags. Several of them said we are against any tax, any additional tax. That was pretty popular. I think Assemblyman Kowalki and Mayfield and a few of them said, but they recognize there's an issue. I think that Assemblymember Sykes and I think also Mayfield talked about it was important to hear from the cities. So, you know, I was thinking about it this morning, Mike, and there is a couple ways they could go with this. They could have the conversation with the cities, which they haven't had a joint meeting in a long time. It'd make a great agenda item for that.
Oh, yeah.
They could levy a 10-cent tax and let the cities keep it and let them do what they will with it for their own methods and collect it and take care of all that. And they could just levy a 10-cent tax outside of the borough. And that would be everybody.
And again, I bring this back, a reminder that this was not a sales tax.
Yeah.
It's an
user
excise fee. Tax.
Yeah.
And an excise tax is collected and paid differently than a sales tax. It's not paid by the buyer at the mm-hmm. point of sale. It mm-hmm. can be passed on and included in some other pricing by an entity, but a Kars or Fred Meyers will pay that to borough, city, whoever. And that, I think, is still not clear for people.
Yeah, well, I read in the legislation, and I didn't bring it with me, but we should look at that again. It looked like it could be put on the sale. They wanted them to put it on the sales slip that they were collecting that 10 cents tax.
That's an informational item, but
right.
it's not a specific tax
right.
that, again, if you go into a coffee shop and you buy mm-hmm. coffee and you're mm-hmm. in Palmer, you pay 3% of whatever that costs. It's down. That's what you pay. You have to mm-hmm. get out your pennies and mm-hmm. pay that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is it's a very different process. And that's one of those pieces that I think, if better understood, could allow people to speak more knowledgeably about what we're talking about. It's still, yes, it's a tax, but it's not a sales tax.
Well, it is, and that words matter. But I think for this purposes, if I'm not wrong, if you call it an excise tax, that has to go before the voters. And I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's just the opposite. If it's a sales tax, it'll have to go in front of the voters. If
but this
excise
was
tax,
called a sales tax, and it wasn't going before the voters.
Well, then my sense was, as we started this conversation, the work with the cities, the work on the ordinance in terms of wording, I think was not ready for prime time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sense that whenever we watch one of these meetings and an ordinance is put together with good intention and comes up and you begin to have the discussion, you have people from the audience that are bringing up issues, you have people around the table, you begin to realize whether it's there or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that requires a lot of change or a lot of questions is probably not something that has been properly noticed.
But perhaps, or also, you need to have that to start the conversation. Because, you know, not every, as much, what I don't like them to do, and they didn't do this time, so I'm proud of what they did. I don't like what they call the sausage making at the table. I like what they did on this one. They stepped back, said it's not ready. We recognize we need to do something. We're not sure what it is, in what form. There's some good points brought up. And we're going to kick it back so that we bring back a piece of legislation after conferring. That was the right thing to do, I think, in this case.
So think back over this meeting on Tuesday. Where was the staff report about the item?
They're missing staff reports. I would like staff reports to come back.
Because that's a place where ahead of the wave, sometimes a tidal wave of expression and concern, you can get this stuff out so right. that not later on in the conversation does the attorney have to speak to it, but this is laid out in advance so people understand why we're talking about
this.
Get
the facts on the table.
And is this an excise tax or a sales tax? Mm-hmm. Clarify what it is, therefore needs to be done, why it can or cannot be done by the assembly. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things can shortchange, short circuit the lengthy commentary.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and the other thing that was missing, Mike, any relation to the next thing in the item, and that was a approval for funding of a new cell to put in a landfill at $7
yes.
million.
Yeah,
and I didn't hear anybody tie that together too much, the fact that one of the reasons we're doing this is not just that bags end up in the trees and they end up in animals and they're obnoxious. It's because they end up in the landfill and they fill our landfill up and we all pay for that. And as evidence of that, we're growing out of our landfill and to add those landfill cells, they call, it's at the tune of $7 million. The last one was even more than that and it ended up in a lawsuit, so it became even more expensive. So to not tie the cost of doing nothing to that, I think was sort of a missed opportunity. And I didn't hear that much from the
sure.
assembly. But it should be brought up because as much as people don't like to be told what to do, there are costs of inaction. And we all know we all have a vested interest in not having to go. In this case, they took a loan from the DEC to do it. It's a low interest loan. So and it has to be done. There's not any way around it. But not to pull that into the reality of it, like you said, in a staff report or in some other way, I think was a failed opportunity. And I don't think the general public even thought about that or even understood that because that didn't come up in any of the testimony. So it was pretty interesting. It did go on a long time. That's two meetings,
and then,
Mike, back to back.
Right. And then they caught speed and off they went and pretty much went through the rest of the agenda pretty quickly.
Yeah, didn't get too hung up. They got hung up on a replacement roof at the nutrition center. And that was unfortunate because I think, in that case, even though it was a good question that McKee had, he certainly could have had that.
And the question was, who owned the building?
Who owned the building. And that could have been asked and answered before he sat down and the staff report again.
Yep.
So bring back the staff reports. I know that those have not by choice actually gone away. It's the overtime and, getting people there. If they're at the staff, they're there giving staff meetings at assembly, they may not be in their office during the day to serve the public. And they've kind of backed way off of those staff reports. And I think they need to bring them back at least on some of the items.
I'm in agreement with you there.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm always glad when we can agree, Mike.
So we've spent most of this session looking at that one
plastic
session.
Bags.
Plastic bags, actually, and the rest of it. We know that coming up, perhaps in October, will be another meeting of the legislature. Mm-hmm. And we know, of course, that the school board will be meeting as well. We'll have that kind of information.
Right.
But
and then they're going to have a little, there's always a little bit of a gap between meetings as they have the election, get the new people entwined. City of Palmer will be meeting next week. They'll be launching into their budget here because I think, as you've pointed out a couple of times, they have to have a budget by the end of the year.
Right.
So, and the fair's here. So everybody will be off fairing in about 10, for about 10 days next week,
okay.
Hopefully.
I'll see you at the fair.
See you at the fair.
Okay. Thank you, citizen lobbyist.